Is flock safety eavesdropping on private citizens? In this case, this flock raven is literally under the eave of a private residence. How close? I'm now touching the sill of this house, standing next to the raven.
The community center said, okay, well, we're a little worried that there might be some sort of anti-Semitic attack, so we want to share our footage with police in case they need it, in case there's a shooting or something terrible happens. And by doing that, they shared it with Flock. All Flock employees, over 1,000 times, and they were all grown men. And they were looking at these cameras at the daycare center, the children's gymnastics room. And their defense to this was that it was a product demo for another client. And I'm thinking to myself, if I had a business and I wanted a flock camera, if I had a police department and somebody pulled up a laptop and said, look how good this works, and then it was a children's gymnastics room, I would call the police, or hit them. I'm not sure what I would do, but that's an outrageous explanation. That's just delusional.
How many flock employees were fired after that?
None. Not one.
If they're going to track us, that's against our constitutional rights. You know, I have the right to move about this country free without somebody looking over my shoulder constantly.
Flock Safety's solar-powered license plate readers have blanketed America like a digital dragnet, scanning tens of billions of plates a month, feeding hot lists to cops and private HOAs, and turning every street corner into a permanent checkpoint. The backlash is real. Dozens of cities have ditched the contracts after privacy scandals.
For many, flock cameras are supposed to make communities safer. But after three officers allegedly abused the system for personal reasons, some residents are questioning whether the technology has enough safeguards.
If they're able to use it for all these other reasons, like tracking people, either they need a new company that has protections on the gear to where you can't do all that stuff, or there needs to be some checks and balances on it.
False alerts that put innocent drivers at gunpoint.
Turn, get out on the ground, do now. You're going to get bit.
Man, for real? Huh? Oh, man, you're doing nothing, man.
Hand your back.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he's already asking for medical like a little... little petulant child.
So it's not the plate.
What? It's
not the stolen plate.
No. Did it just miss hit?
I think it miss hit.
How you make that door light?
We'll talk later.
Hey, face away from me now!
Right now, man, we got a hit on a car and a stolen vehicle. So you're about to cooperate with us?
I'll cooperate, but I promise you, it's not so.
You have any weapons on you?
No.
Turn around. I gotta put you in these for right now, okay?
I've got a baby in the car.
So we have a flock camera system that's around these distances. We got a hit from that flock camera.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so L0DUY, not LOUY.
Unauthorized federal data grabs and that creeping sense that your every commute is being logged for the permanent record.
Well, guys, flock just got wings. Those street-side cameras that are already all across America. What if I told you they're not stopping there? The same company behind the cameras are now putting autonomous surveillance drones in the sky. And depending on who you ask, it's either the future of public safety or the more likely option, the biggest expansion of government surveillance we've seen yet. Now the company's automated license plate readers have spread across the country, creating one of the nation's largest interconnected video surveillance networks. After partnering with aviation software company Aerodome, Flock launched Flock Alpha, an autonomous police drone built to respond to emergencies before officers even arrive. The drone sits inside a waterproof docking station waiting for a call, and when a 911 report comes in, the drone can launch automatically and fly up to 60 miles per hour. Officers don't even have to be standing nearby. They can deploy it directly from one of these little things, a smartphone. And this thing isn't just flying overhead. It's got thermal imaging, high-definition cameras, and powerful optical zoom. And while according to Flock, it can even read a vehicle's license plate from 2,000 feet away. That's not terrifying at all.
But instead of the surveillance layer being torn down, it's being rebranded. Axon, the taser and body cam giant, has stormed into the gap with its own pole-mounted and streetlight retrofit ALPR systems, the same hardware partners Flock used.
Guess who else owns Axon? That's right. According to financial disclosures, the president purchased between $1 and $5 million of Axon stock. Guess when?
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigly has launched an online pharmacy 1776RX.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776RX.health.
Welcome to another powerful afternoon War Room broadcast. I am your host, Rex Jones. Welcome to the show today. We have a jam-packed 3 hours for you. I got a Green Beret interview. Matt Murphy joining me in the middle of the second hour, and I'll be taking your calls in the third. We have a lot to get into and a lot to go over, but since it is the War Room, I want to start with the geopolitical roundup. It's been a little hard for me because, like, doing the Alex Jones show and also doing my morning show as well, you got to cover more stories other than just like pure geopolitics and war. But I think it's important because people who tune into this show care about global conflict. More importantly than that, they care about stopping it. And how do we stop it? We're aware of it. We recognize what's going on, who the criminals are, how they're destroying our country, what they're making us fund. Right. So I want to go ahead and get into all of that, just like I did on yesterday's show, talking about the idea of TACO. Trump always chickens out. Now, there are various arguments as to why this is, and people say, well, it's pure market manipulation, and he's a genius, and he's doing pump and dumps essentially every weekend. And it is kind of like a Looney Tunes cartoon where, like, you know he's going to attack when the markets close, and then when the markets open, you're okay. It's like, oh, we got to plan the picnic for Wednesday. We know it won't be bombing yet. It's just kind of absurd. But there's that perspective to look at it from. There's also the perspective of fear. Right, like, what is he afraid of? What does he know? He knows that he ran on being the peace president. And if he does what Netanyahu and Smotrich and Ben-Gavir and all the chuckle buddies, the demon vampires want him to do, he's totally and permanently cooked. You could say he's already cooked and it is what it is. And you'd say, well, what's one more giant PR disaster? This won't just be a giant PR disaster. We have one of those every week. We used to talk about Biden gaffes. Now we talk about, you know, Trump just doing what Unk is going to do. If we get hundreds or thousands of American dead bodies coming home, nothing will save the GOP. Nothing will save the Republican Party. And ultimately, nothing will save Donald Trump. And they know that. They knew that from day one. Why did they do it? Well, it's because they're an occupied party, because both parties are occupied. We live in an occupied nation. They don't have a choice. So they got to spend the political capital that we gave them on this mission they've been handed on a silver platter by the Israel lobby and Zionists at large. So let's go ahead and check in with Unk, and then we'll go over his latest tweet, or one of the later tweets. We'll go over Joe Kent's commentary on it. But I want you guys to play clip number two. President says the U.S. had an attack on Iran plan that would be just the end-all be-all. Go ahead and play clip number two.
We're asked by the three primary groups. We're also asked by Iran, very strongly, actually. They said, would like to make a deal. Now, you know, I don't know what they say, because a lot of times they'll say that to me and then they'll go out and say, we don't know what he's talking about. Obviously, they don't want to be attacked. And they knew the extent of the attack because they saw it forming.
What happens now?
Well, now what we're doing is we're talking to them in the form of a negotiation. It begins tomorrow afternoon and we'll see if it's true. I'd love to do that. Save a lot of lives. Save a lot of unnecessary power, to be honest with you. It would take many, many years to ever build it back. If it could, I don't think it would be even buildable back. So we had an attack that would be the biggest attack since World War II, and it would have been disastrous with them. And they didn't want us to do it. And frankly, Saudi Arabia didn't want it either. They thought that a deal is imminent.
Okay, so he tells the truth at the end there. It's not about Iran because Trump isn't talking to the Iranians. The Iranians are talking to the Pakistanis, and the Pakistanis talk to Trump and to J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio, the rest of our dignitaries. That's the reality. The Saudi Arabians are the Saudis in general. They are the ones that are trying to end this conflict the hardest, right? Now, you can look at the Gulf states and their history of being incredibly subservient to the U.S., and they're still incredibly subservient, and they still do our bidding and Mossad's bidding at large. However, if they get all their oil infrastructure blown up, it is the end of their empire, the end of their power. During the Sykes-Picot Agreement, shortly after, I believe, World War I, where the lines were drawn and things were decided, these are Bedouin tribesmen that essentially won the lottery, right? And they're not about to lose that. So what's interesting to point out to people is that there is a security agreement between now Pakistan and Saudi Arabia. So Pakistan, if you may remember, they were responsible in large part for the MOU. They are responsible for that meeting where J.D. Vance and Foreign Minister Arachi of Iran were in the same room. That was a very big deal that happened. And people don't really talk about it because it didn't really pan out. But whenever stuff like that happens, you have to understand other countries actually take their diplomacy seriously. And when they have a meeting like that, especially with like the world's leading global empire, which is us, they take it very seriously and they have a certain level of respect for it, even if something doesn't result from the process directly. And that's called building respect. We don't do that with people. J.D. Vance is the only person in office, as a part of this administration that has tried to do something like that. And he hasn't even tried to do it. He just does it as a factotum of Trump so that Trump can signal and say, oh, look, I'm trying to negotiate. Ultimately, Trump is like a pragmatic robber in this scenario. He's trying to figure out, okay, how can I take from you, meaning Iran? Like, what can I take from you to where you're not going to hit me back to a degree that's going to just destroy everything forever? There's not really an answer to that, because if he leaves and abandons the Middle East, which is what he should do, the neocons will lambast him and blame him for everything forever. If he stays there and goes total war or stretches it out, we're going to blame him forever, and that's also going to destroy him. So he's really caught between a rock and a hard place, and it's going to be interesting to see what his decision is. And I'd like to go ahead and go to clip number 3, contrasting the attitude of people that would like for him to go even farther and do more. We got Randinator, Randy Fine, 600 pounds of not any fun. Go ahead and play clip number 3.
What do you say to Americans, though, who have watched this back and forth, who have watched the president say there are strikes on the horizon and then pull that back? And we've done this dance several times, sir. So what do you say to Americans who are concerned watching that and who are watching the impact here at home? They are facing the burden of higher cost and watching this drag out.
Yeah, look, I would say that we've been dealing with this not for a few months, but for 47 years, we've been dealing with these issues with Iran. And what people need to understand is this: Iran was spending huge amounts of money to build an intercontinental ballistic missile. That intercontinental ballistic missile only had one purpose. It was to deliver a nuclear weapon
totally
to
made
the
up.
United States.
They totally
had all
made
the
up.
Missiles they needed to hit
total
anywhere
lie.
They wanted in Israel.
Iran banned the nuclear weapon in 2003.
That the president has said we cannot.
We
face.
Killed the guy that banned
as
the
much
nuke.
As it stinks to pay an extra dollar a gallon of gas, which I think will come down fairly shortly.
As much as it sucks to have another inch of, our boot in your butt, you know, you're just going to have to take it because it's not as bad as having the Muslims, right?
But how much longer can Americans continue to carry that burden?
Until we win. I mean, look,
we're going to do it until we pick enough cotton. That's how long we're going to do it. You know, we're going to make a decision. Hey, you tired? You want to get out of the field? Hell no. You're going to fight for Israel. You're going to die for Israel. This is a slave master.
And they are the ones who can't hold out.
Understand that. That's why I'm talking over him. Just discount everything he says. This guy wants to keep you, regardless of your origin, if you're an American, he wants to keep you on the tax and military plantation of Israel. Think about that. There's no freedom in a world where we have a sitting U.S. congressperson telling people to starve away, right? Because he's not just dehumanizing the people over there. He's starving and killing. He's dehumanizing you by making you go along with it and making you accept it, making you feel proud of it. That's the real sin. That's what's really been done to America. This guy is a slave master. He just said, your gas goes up a dollar, you go pay, because we're going to go until we win. What kind of sick logic is that? What's winning? What's your definition of winning? Because first you said it wasn't a war. Now you say it is a war, but it's not a war. Trump wants to say the four recent casualties, Tyler, Angel, Michael, and Sarah, he wants to say they didn't die in a war. So which is it? It's a war we got to fight forever, a war we've been fighting for 47 years. But it's not a war we're fighting because Congress says it's not a war because they voted to strike down the War Powers Resolution. You see how there's no way out of this with people like this in charge? And this is why the campaign of Dan Bilzerian is such a disgrace, because you have the opportunity to run against this guy and really challenge him, and you spend it trying to be like an internet lord with Nick Fuentes. I would love to talk to Dan. I would love to talk to him about this and really just pick his brain as to why you would squander that opportunity and not even tell people to vote until like super recent to the election. So I just, not everything is for social media clout. Not everything is a grift. Sometimes you have to take your stuff seriously. And like, pull him up again. Show Randy Fine. You're running against a refrigerator. Is your refrigerator running? Hello? Hello? Is your refrigerator running? Oh, well, actually, he's already in office right now. That would be Randy Fine, the man that's full of food. And you can't even beat that? And I'm not a Floridian, but somebody that lives there needs to run against this guy and actually do a good job. I just want to say that really quick. But let's get back into it a little bit. I want to show people this clip number 7. And I really want to highlight what's been, you know, done to this operation and other people, you know, other people in conservative media, whatever you want to say, alternative media, and the way that we've all been targeted. Go ahead and play clip number 7.
I know that I am the person who informed the president of everything that Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly and Candace Owens and Alex Jones were saying about him. And despite preparing a lot of these reports for the White House, it's my understanding a lot of this information was not given to him or explained to him in full, which is alarming, because you have to ask yourself who surrounding the president is serving as a gatekeeper for the woke Reich.
A gatekeeper for the woke Reich? That's what we represent. They want to slap some term together and define who we are. How about Trump's old friends? How about that? Not the woke Reich, whatever you want to say. How about the people that still have the values that Trump ran on in 2016 and 2024? Like, we ain't the ones that switched up. It's an archetypal thing. Look, it's Grima Wormtongue type stuff. It's Lord of the Rings. It's very simple. Like, we aren't the ones that changed. You're the one that changed. You wrote for RT, and then now you're over in Ukraine. So like, how does that work exactly? It's not fair. It's not fair for Trump to come out and call my dad low IQ and fried and bankrupt and laugh at him and make fun of him because we were kicked off social media and then Trump was kicked off social media. And people like Laura understand this. They get it. They were there back in the day. I don't understand betraying those values for a foreign country. I really don't get it. You could say, oh, like someone's loyal to like an American political faction that we hate, like the DSA or something, right? Like this is far different. Right. This is somebody working for a nation, in my opinion, in my view, thousands of miles away, and like giving the president social media reports of the people that are critical of him. We're supposed to be critical of the president. If we're not critical of the dear leader, then he is a dear leader. Is he not? Like, do we get a choice? Do we get any agency at all in our country? Or is it just like the more likable chuckle buddy or buddette, if it's a girl, eventually woman president, like whoever it is? In office, we just have to like, well, that's our guy, that's our girl, that's our person that we support. It's just like what is wrong with you? Where do you get off? How has that been the way that things have ever worked here? All right, this is a country of rebels and a country of people that struggle against power, authority, and ultimately colonialism. And you're asking us, Laura, to endorse a colonial power right now, which is the state of Israel. And all the American death, all the American money, all the American weapons that get taken from this country, the blood and treasure, if you will, and they get spent in the Middle East, that is all done in the interest of preserving Israel. And not even preserving Israel, growing Israel and subsuming parts of Israel, subsuming Jordan, subsuming Saudi Arabia, subsuming parts of Iraq, parts of Iran, Lebanon, Syria. That's what it's really all about. And they see it as, hey, the United States did it to the Americans or Native Americans 250 years ago or later than that. Like, why can't we do it? You know, and that's an interesting argument. And that's probably the most valid argument. But ultimately, we've moved on. We live in the future. And ultimately, genocide is wrong. And we're not going to do it anymore. And you don't get a license to do it because you convinced a bunch of evangelical boomers that Bibi Netanyahu is the second coming of Jesus. It's not going to work out that way. And it doesn't matter how many of us you kill, you destroy, you do whatever to. All right. It's completely irrelevant because the young people realize we're not going to have a future. We already don't have a future. Do you want to have grandchildren or do you not? Do you want to be able to have stability in a country where your kids can grow up and feel like you were a kid, can understand your experience, your childhood, have those shared values, that same bond? Or do you want that all to go away? Do you want that all to go away and to be replaced with either Judeo-Christian nationalism, where you have to fight Apocalypse Now world war over in the Middle East and in Russia? Or do you want it to be the DSA Mamdani hellhole? You know, like I don't believe in that binary. I think we can find a third option, but young people have to wake up and realize, like, do you want grandchildren? Do you want a future? The question is, like, will you actualize that by getting involved in politics? And really not even that, just being the best version of yourself. Fuentes talks about it quite often. I just say it universally. Like, now is the time to be better. The prior generations, there's tons of hardworking people that know way more than us, and we can learn a lot from them, but the vast majority of them didn't do anything. We have the opportunity now in this time of crisis to actually get quite strong, because we need to be strong. We need to be able. We need to have skills. We need to have the ability to do the things that the boomers always talk about. Okay? The boomers say, oh, I walked up uphill in the snow 2 miles to go to school. Well, even if we don't have to do that, even if we could get an Uber, we need to do that training. We need to be out there in the woods. We need to be, you know, building stuff with our hands. Like, we got to be real, right? We got to be capable, because hell is coming. Should we choose to accept it, or should the older people choose to accept it? And I fear that we as a nation already have. And that is a little bit black pilling, but I do want to get into just a little white pill here, talking about why we are not currently bombing Iran. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's not happening right now. Knock on wood as well, that doesn't happen, because, you know, famous last words and all of that. But I want to read this from Larry Johnson about the Iranian counterstrike option. Not talking about CSGO. Counter-strike is in retaliatory option if there was a U.S.-Israeli campaign again. I'm going to read this, and I want you to make up your mind listening to it at home. A major U.S.-Israeli campaign against Iran. This is a 31-year CIA analyst, veteran, geopolitical guy, basically never wrong, Larry Johnson. Against Iran would create a credible risk of retaliatory pressure against the most concentrated Israeli fuel systems first, followed by wider pressure against Gulf country refining, LNG, liquid natural gas, power, water, storage, and export systems if these states are perceived as enabling the campaign. This is the whole problem. This is why, right here, this is why we can't go to war in the Middle East anymore against a country even like the Houthi that have ballistic missiles, that have drones, that have all these things, because all they have to do is shut Yanbu, shut Suez. All they have to do is shut the Red Sea. All they have to do is shut Bab el-Mandeb, Strait of Hormuz. And then it's all over. We can't do anything. The strategic danger is not a single damaged facility. It is the possibility. It's huge. That several tightly coupled systems fail faster than substitute supply, repair capacity, and emergency logistics can be mobilized. For defense analysis, the report assumes that the first retaliatory pressure would fall on Israel, because Israel be a direct combatant and because its domestic fuel system is concentrated in two refineries. The model then examines a widening second stage in which selected GCC systems could face pressure if Gulf air bases, logistics, intelligence, energy support, or political alignment were viewed as materially supporting the campaign. If we do anything militarily with these countries, if we put planes there, if we put troops there, if we have Tic Tacs there, it doesn't matter. Trump was eating the Tic Tacs at Lindsey Graham's funeral. If those Tic Tacs are shipped into the country and there is a bombing campaign being run on Iran, every single U.S. location and asset is going to be at immediate risk of being terminated. And that does not only include American lives and American military equipment. That also includes American businesses, all the billionaires, the Amazon warehouse, I believe, got blown up as well. See if we can find that. See if we can find that crew, if we can look that up. Like, you are at risk to a degree, not just from military perspective, immediate security, but you cannot get insured. You cannot do business. Your business will die. And like Mario Newfall, I would love to talk to him. I know he interviews people all the time. I like to interview him. And I like to be like, what is it like living in Dubai? Like, why are you still doing that? Like, you're a smart guy. Like, oh, this is retarded, though. Like, leave. Like, you are rich and you do a really good job of being a broadcaster interviewer. Like, why are you living in hell? Here's the thing. Like, people have connections and they know people, whatever. It is what it is. I bet it's pretty sick. I bet it is badass to live there, for him at least. But it is time to leave. Look at this. Iran says it attacked Amazon infrastructure in Bahrain. Iran's IRGC say they have attacked Amazon's data infrastructure in Bahrain. U.S. CENTCOM has carried out 10 consecutive nights, blah, blah, blah. And now that's not happening anymore, so that's old news. But yeah, so American commercial infrastructure and just Western commercial infrastructure in general is at major threat. I'm going to keep reading this article here. Israel has, and this is key to understand, they only have two refineries. Listen to this. Israel has no geographically diversified domestic refining system. This is a big deal. They only have two. Haifa, Bazan, Nashad carry effectively the entire national burden for diesel and jet kerosene production. And this is the problem right here, is the mid-distillate product, right? The problem is not necessarily around the world that, we can't start the car or whatever, although that is coming, that is already on its way. The problem is the middle distillate product, because they can choose to either make jet fuel or they can choose to make the diesel that goes in your truck so that you can go to the grocery store and have food on the shelves and run the tractors and till the fields and do that stuff. They're going to have to make a decision here in America. We have tons of this stuff, even though we're a net importer of the sour crude. Like, we have a ton of oil. Like, Israel's tiny. It's the size of New Jersey. They're screwed. They rely solely on imports. If this gets disturbed or blown up, they are completely done. That's why the 12-day war was a 12-day war. They couldn't do it anymore. The larger Haifa complex supplies approximately two-thirds of the combined middle distillate baseline and roughly 70% of diesel. Ashad is the only substantial domestic alternative if Haifa becomes unavailable. And that is the central Haifa is the central Israeli fuel security exposure because it combines, that means like the most biggest vulnerability, because it combines the largest refining burden with interconnected support systems. A future disruption would not need to eliminate every crude or conversion unit to create a national deficit. Loss of electrical, steam, hydrogen, internal transfer controls, tankage, or product certification. Just an entire sheet, an entire list of points of failure here. And that is a reality. It would be like getting in a fight, like a UFC fight, and I don't know, I guess you could still move around and stuff, but like you just had like your jaw broken. So I guess you just like have to like, oh, we're going to hit them with the knockout blow. And then, or if they hit me at all, like I'm going down immediately. And that's kind of been the U.S.'s approach to the conflict. And that entire sequence has already played out. And then now Iran knows that they have the ability to hit us. They've depleted our defense munitions that don't even work that well. And you can stick a fork in it. We're cooked. A little sip of water. You know what we're going to do? We're going to do a live plug right now. This is the capsule version of Methylene Blue. We have this available for you at thealexjonesstore.com. We have the highest quality nutritional supplements, the highest quality Patriot apparel, t-shirts, you name it, and more. I created two products to go alongside Methylene Blue. That's the Power Drive bundle. That's going to be the Power Plant and Methyl Drive, if we can pull that up. There we go. Beautiful, and it's so convenient, too. This is the thing. With the capsules, if you're going to travel, if you're going to have this in your bag versus having the liquid, like if you're in the liquid, got to have the Ziplocs and be all crazy. This is a great way to know you got 10 milligrams of methylene blue in each one of these capsules. You got 60 right here. Phenomenal deal. That's ultra methylene blue. And that is all available for you in the Power Drive bundle as well. But that really is the best seller for a reason. You can go ahead and get that right now at thealexjonesstore.com. When we get back, I got more breaking news for you. I got more information on the shooting that just happened. And we got Matt Murphy joining us here in the second hour. So stay tuned, stay with me, and I appreciate you. And follow me at Rex Jones News with the Z on Twitter if you want to do that. That would be pretty based if you did that. Do you want to try some?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, send you some methylene blue. And if you guys want to get it too, you can get it from thealexjonesstore.com. I invented two proprietary products. Gavin, I'm a business owner, supplement formulator, Power Plant and Methyl Drive. You guys got to get them right now. Magnesium, CoQ10, PQQ, Rhodiola Roja, Golden Root. It's got the cordyceps, the zinc, the selenium. It's got the boron as well. Raise your free testosterone. Raise your ability to get through hard days and hard tasks. And ultimately raise the potential of the methylene blue that you're probably already taking if you're watching this network. We have that available for you. It's a really good deal, really good price. People just kind of across the internet have told me they've started taking it and they've been able to get to the gym again. They've been able to get through hard days at work again. Specifically, that Power Plant formula. If you're looking for something like Super Male Vitality from back in the day, I basically invented a better version of that. That's called Power Plant. It's available solo or also in the Power Drive bundle at thealexjonesstore.com. Look up what proper magnesium does for your body. Look up what proper methylated vitamin B12 does for your body. All of that and more is in Power Plant and Methyl Drive, and you can get them all three together on the Power Drive bundle, along with the other phenomenal products. We have the turmeric. We've got the MK Ultra, which is a phenomenal multivitamin, also nootropic as well. Ultimate Burn. If you really, you're trying to lose a little bit of weight, here's the thing. I've been doing a good job. I'm almost down to like 205 now. If you want to join me on a weight loss journey, you can get yourself some Ultimate Burn. And all the other products we have, like Methylene Red specifically, are also great for that. Methylene Red also has that CoQ10. Get the turmeric, get the blue, get the gummies, get the colostrum. My grandma is not capping on jaw for real. It really helped her with her hair if you want it. We've got the T3 Trifecta Iodine, the absolute staple of the old network. We've got the Ultimate Sea Moss, Ultimate Turmeric, the Bovine Beef Tallow. It's got the Methylene Blue inside the tallow. Incredible antioxidant, Methylene Blue. I already went over it, tried to with Gavin a little bit. We've got the Zeolite, incredible for heavy metal support, dechelation, stuff like that. The Shilajit Complex, we've even got smelling salts. Ultimate Life Force, which is absolutely incredible. It's got the natokinase in there. It's got things theoretically to, you know, attenuate certain anecdotal things with the spike protein. Not making a health claim there. Talk to your doctor. It's just a top-rated formula for a reason. The Ultimate CMOS gummies in another form. The creatine, the Ultimate Power. We've got tons of sales on the different forms and flavors of the Ultimate Power pre-workout. We've got the NAD. We've got the Methyl Drive. We've got the MK Ultra. We've got Optimal Human. I got drink mixes for you. I got powders. I got energy gum. This is what you need. We have an electrolyte powder. It is so important in the summer months to get proper electrolyte support. And if you look at a lot of these blends on the grocery store shelf, they are pure garbage. Get yourself some Optimal Human. Get yourself some beef tallow. Get yourself some Atomic Defense. All of that and more is available at thealexjonesstore.com. I did not even mention the water filtration, the shower filtration that we have, the Patriot apparel that we have, the collectible coins memorabilia that we have. Literally everything that you could ever want theoretically or practically to support this operation, you can get at thealexjonesstore.com. This is what makes us different. Other people do a show so they can sell a product. We sell the best products in the world so that we can do the best show in the world. That's what makes this operation completely different, completely viewer, listener, supported, funded, owned by you at home when you decide, when you choose to make the decision to support us and get the phenomenal products at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm telling you again, the Power Drive Bundle, Methyl Drive, Power Plant, Methylene Blue, that is like the trifecta. Appreciate everyone tuning in on the afternoon drive or whatever y'all are doing, unwinding or getting ramped up for work. I hope I can go over some interesting topics for you and really make you aware of what's happening in the world today. I am Rex Jones, the host of the War Room for today. Harrison Steady did the Alex Jones show today. It's kind of fun. We've all been kind of, you know, swapping and moving around and doing different shows here. When they called me up and they asked me to host more and to just, you know, to be around because my dad was going to be, you know, out of town and whatnot, it's been really fun to be here in studio. But I want to go over more information, which I think people are aware of, but I'd like to see it shown more to people. Just the polling, negative views of Israel. If I can get overhead shot on this, please. Netanyahu and negative views of Israel continue to rise among Americans, especially young people. Oh, you don't say. They're unpopular? The people, you know, bankrupting our country right now and killing Americans, the Americans that live here, the American citizens that should matter in the election, they're not a fan? Oh, no brainer, right? Americans have increasingly negative views of Israel and its Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, according to a new Pew Research Center survey. If you can look at this now, 60% of U.S. adults have an unfavorable view of Israel, up from 53%. So they just added 7% to that year over year. It's pretty insane. If you were saving that money, you'd be making money against inflation right now. Pretty crazy. 59% have little or no confidence in Netanyahu to do the right thing. Yeah, you know, for some reason, I don't think Voldemort is going to be nice to Harry Potter. For some reason, I don't think Palpatine is going to be nice to the Jedi. For some reason, I don't think the Covenant is going to be nice to Master Chief. Something there doesn't add up to me. That's just completely nuts. And you can look at it. Americans' views of Israel are sharply divided by party and age, right? So you got people that are under a certain age, like 8 in 10 Democrats and Democratic-leaning independents currently have an unfavorable view of Israel, up from 69% last year and 53% in 2022. Democrats under 50 are slightly more likely than older Democrats to say they have a very unfavorable view. You can keep in mind, this is a study size of about 3,500 adults. More Republicans and Republican leaners have a favorable than unfavorable view of Israel. This is the problem, because where are the independents going to be? Where are the people that turned out for Trump in 2024 going to be? Are they going to be on the pro and favorable side for Israel, or are they going to be on the anti? Are they going to be on the against? Are they going to say, hey, I'm not really a fan of voting for genocide and being lied to about it? Like, this is what I talk about holding the feet to the fire, not being a nice thing to do. It's a very mean thing to do. Like, you got to like burn somebody to wake them up, essentially. It's what we're talking about. And like, there is no waking up Trump. Trump decided to be evil and do this and to kill little kids. So like, and that's just, oh, you can't say, oh, what, it happened at war. It happened at war. It's what happened. But it's not a war, is it? Because Trump says it's not a war. So shut up. Sorry. I know we got neocons watching. I can't help it. I the slithering creatures in the darkness. I want to talk to you for a second. Like, just please stop supporting this war. Like, please stop doing it. And to the psychopaths and sociopaths that genuinely like doing it, like, it's not even going that well for you, because Trump isn't going to do the bombing. So like, it is, everyone's upset. Everyone's not happy with this. I'm going to read this again. This is more extreme. Poll finds nearly half of Americans support arresting Netanyahu. You're right. Nearly half of Americans believe that the U.S. should arrest Israeli Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu over his actions in Gaza. Not even the other things as well, because keep in mind, he's wanted for many other crimes. He's basically, who's like the worst criminal? Crew, can we think of the worst criminal? Like, I think of somebody that's like cartoon bad as a criminal. And then tell me in my ear so I can give a good analogy. When asked if the U.S. should enforce an international criminal court arrest warrant for Netanyahu, 49% of respondents in the poll said yes, while 27% said no, and 23% were unsure. And I've seen people attack the ICC. Here's the thing. We're giving them validity. Because out of anything, you know, it's like getting like a parking ticket for genocide. We know that he did it. And they're like, oh, well, they're not a legitimate body. He doesn't have to pay the parking ticket. Yeah, Dr. Evil's a good example. Dr. Evil's a good example. All right, the ICC issued an arrest warrant for Dr. Evil in November 2024, accusing him of starvation as a method of warfare and committing crimes against humanity, including murder and persecution. It also alleges that Dr. Evil intentionally directed an attack against the civilian population in Gaza. Last week, New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani moved away from a prior view to arrest Dr. Evil should he fly to his city in a few months for the annual UN General Assembly. It is clear that we do not have an independent legal authority to enforce this warrant against Dr. Evil. The federal government, however, does, Mamdani said in a video posted to X. And I call on them to join the ICC and execute the warrant against Dr. Evil. Israel and the U.S. do not fall under the rulings of the ICC, with both countries never having ratified the court's founding treaty. The ICC, however, asserts jurisdiction over Palestinian territories. 47% of respondents in the Economist poll said that they believe Dr. Evil is guilty of war crimes in Gaza, while 24% disagreed and 29% were unsure. The Economist poll took place between July 25th and 27th. So when did this take place? Oh, I see. All right. So this is new. This is how people feel right now. All right. So you see how I replaced the name Netanyahu with Dr. Evil, and it reads like more normal, right? You're like, okay, so it's not the prime minister that's elected into government from the citizens that runs the country. It's an evil supervillain that wants to destroy the earth. Like, that sounds much more accurate now, doesn't it? So like, why don't you ever hear anybody else say that? I know you hear people on the new media side say that or whatever. No one in establishment media will ever call them out specifically. World Jewry, international Jewish power, but concentrated locally in Israel under the current Likudnik government, right? And you can say, oh, well, we want the alternative. Let me take another sip of water. Full sip. We want Naftali Bennett You know, we want the moderate Israeli. We want the opposition party. They're talking about war with Turkey. They're talking about war with the UAE. Not the UAE. They're friends with UAE. Talking about war with Qatar. Like that's, you don't really get moderate over there. All we can do is be like the parent and say, no, we're taking the car keys. You're 9 years old and you're a criminal. You don't know how to drive. It's like LaMilton Tayshaun from the Boondocks. Y'all know what I'm talking about if you're watching this right now and you're a real G. The Boondocks, created by Aaron McGruder, like one of the greatest shows ever made. LaMilton Tayshaun, smoking cigarettes with his friends, is like a 10-year-old boy, steals his mom's car, and it's based off a classic thing of like a little kid did actually do this, like having fun with cigarettes or smoking cigarettes, just what we do. And the mom says, oh, he's a good boy, he's a good kid, he doesn't know anything. And then he almost gets Riley killed. It's basically the exact situation that we're in right now. And the fact that we live in a country where it's hard to get half of Americans to agree on anything. We live in a country where, overhead shot. We live in a country where half of Americans want this guy in a prison, right? And then our country is giving him giant bags of money. Giant bags of money. You can see that right there. The giant bag of money that we're giving it to Netanyahu. And then you get nothing. Anti-Semite. Isn't that liberal? So how does that feel as a deal? How does that arrangement work exactly? Do you feel good at home? You feel like you're as an American citizen, you have an impact on the system, and you know, or your party, oh, like you're a good voting Republican and you really got the impact. Dr. Evil is in our country. They just voted to give Dr. Evil another $100 billion. They just voted to give Dr. Evil access to a $1.5 trillion defense budget. They just gave Dr. Evil, they just appointed Mini-Me as the Undersecretary of War at DOW. They just made Mini-Me ascendant in Section 219 of the NDAA. He's ahead of every single other department head at DOD. Think about that. $1 million? How about 1 million American lives? That number in the movie in Austin Powers is supposed to be comical, right? Because inflation or whatever, like asking for $1 million, like kind of, it is what it is. Like a supervillain threatening to blow up the earth wouldn't do that. But like 1 million American lives, like that seems like a pretty, you know, expensive deal to make. But we're run by Dr. Evil. Your country is run by Cobra. Your country is run by Orochimaru. Your country is run by the Akatsuki. Your country is run by Frieza. Like these people are evil. They're pure Voldemort, whatever, Darth Sidious, like every single evil archetype. And the proof of that is that they flaunt it. And he comes over here and flaunts it and he mocks us. And every single person in Congress, damn near, left, right, center, whatever that means, you name it, they all stand up and they give Netanyahu like 12 standing ovations every single time he's in office. When he is in office. Right? Yeah, go ahead and play LaMilton Tayshaun. Go ahead. This is Israel. Oh, can we turn on audio? Old,
few his age have ever driven an SUV up and down several busy streets. It all started at his mother's townhouse. Letarian says he took the car keys and hopped into his grandmother's Dodge Durango.
When I came through the back door, I looked on the counter, my keys were gone.
I took my grandma's car because I got mad at my mom, and then I suddenly had my friend come in, and he smoked with cigarettes.
He started the vehicle and put it into gear.
I yanked it.
That's Israel.
Thing.
And off they
went.
Yeah,
I did genocide.
7-year-olds alone on the road. Letarian so drove what? Several miles through Lake Park in Palm Beach Gardens.
We got the one call that I told you about of a driver in the vehicle who looked too short to be able to see over the steering wheel.
Along the way, he ran over two mailboxes, hit two parked cars in a Costco parking lot, and struck two moving cars near Walmart.
God promised him that mailbox 3,000 years ago.
Funny do bad things. Drive into a car.
But did you know that you could perhaps kill somebody?
Yes, but I wanted to do hood rat stuff with my friend.
It all ended on Investment Lane.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's where Letarian hit the curb and sideswiped the sign. The SUV took most of the beating, snapping off one of his axles and wheels.
It's a flesh wound.
A grandmother's rage.
I want to whip his behind. That's what I want to do right now. If I thought they wouldn't take me to jail, I'd whip his behind right now.
You don't think he should
Pause
be punished
it.
For all of this?
I mean, that's the perfect analogy for the U.S. Oh, we'll punish Israel. We promise we'll punish Israel. But if we punish Israel, you know, we're going to get in trouble because we did the same stuff. It's the perfect analogy. 1 million American lives. And here's the thing. You should be able to do hood rat stuff with your friends. You should be able to commit genocide and get away with it. You should be able to burn an entire country down. What's wrong with that? What, are you anti-fun? Are you anti-empire? Are you anti-American success? That's what American success has turned into now. The only thing you can be proud of are the relentless wars they get us into. We are the person trapped in the car with LaMilton right now. And not even that. We're not even Riley anymore. Maybe the American people are Riley. The American government is the mother who says, oh, well, you know, if I did what I wanted to do, they'd throw me in jail, which is just another cop out. There's no accountability here. I mean, let's pray for LaMilton. Let's hope he's doing all right. But, I don't think he's doing all right. Let's go ahead and show this. He was arrested in a carjacking. It's a bit of a problem. You know, we had high hopes for LaMilton.
Right, and Latarian Milton spent about 10 minutes in court this morning. He learned that he will not be able to.
All right. That's all we need. All right. So the idea, and I'm just referencing this because it's for a part of the classic Boondocks cartoon. The idea that there's no accountability for a foreign power that we fund and that we're directly responsible for, it doesn't work long term. It's not a reality that can be accepted by the international community and not one that can be accepted by the American people. And I just played that clip with Laura Loomer, which is pretty insane. Let's go ahead and go to clip number 8, which is, you know, kind of, you know, another allegorical representation of what's going on with Trump. Go to clip number 8.
Things have been a lot different ever since I got bit by a radioactive Epstein.
Uh-oh.
You know, Jeff, I never thanked you for introducing me to my wife.
Ouch! Jeff, what the hell was that for? What is happening to me?
Hoy. Hoy. Hoy, man.
Pretty incredible, right? Dude, hell yeah, this is what I voted for. All right, and I guess the competition is not MJ and Gwen Stacy. I guess it's Zelensky and Netanyahu. And that's the real war. That's like, who do you stand in that situation? Okay, I also had this overhead shot, please. Boy George splits from label manager over pro-Israel song. So I'm going to read you some of the lyrics from this thing, and it's grotesque. And this is the idea that like rich people have that are in these communities of people that support genocide, murder, and they're just insulated from it. So they don't realize what they're doing, what they're saying. This is going to be in the history books type of stuff. And not even like in decades, like in under a decade, like very, very soon. This is horrible. So he wrote a song that's pro-Israel. And notice it's not a song that's pro-Israel. It's a song that's pro-murder because Israel justifies its existence with that murder. Right, so I'm going to read some of the lyrics to you here. And these are the opening lyrics to the song. But let me read the tweet where he plays liberal really quick. He goes, oh, I'm liberal. I don't know. I'm a Buddhist. In Buddhism, we understand that every action comes with consequence due to my decision to stand up for my Jewish friends. I am losing a few people from my life. Today, I parted company with Blah Blah, who has run my Blah Blah for a number of years. I wanted to release my pro-genocide song, but he was unequivocal and said, I want nothing to do with the song. And I responded with, I'm done. So what does the song say? The opening lyrics, you say genocide, I saw war. Well, it's just a genocide, Mega. Like, for real. Like, no cap, for real. It's just a genocide. You can look at the aerial footage of the murder. Entire cities flattened. Entire cities gone. That's what you're supporting when you say that. I don't take this lightly. And you know what? Andrew Wilson said it's a quip. He's smart enough to where he could debate you about that for an hour. The quartering said glass Iran and move on. And then he says it's just comedy. Right. That reminds me of this. But this is even worse because it's serious. When you're attacked, that's what the army's for. Killing little kids, barbecuing them alive, killing the women and wearing the lingerie and taking videos in it. Destiny's famous for being on YouTube, telling people to stop videotaping themselves, committing those war crimes. Does it get ugly? You bet it does. So is ugly like the sanctioned prisoner rape? You know, they rape prisoners, right? They rape them with dogs and stuff. And they raped them with people. And in fact, the soldiers, the prisoners, that the thugs that raped the Palestinians, they actually went and received a standing ovation at the Israeli hill, the Israeli Knesset. So you can't really do stuff like this much longer while getting away with it. You can't really call people like us Nazis and say that we're Hitler forever and be liberal and play liberal and then just openly endorse like genocide and mass murder. You're like, yeah, I'm going to write songs about it. I'll make money off it. What a pig. As a Buddhist, as a pig, that's what it should say. When I know you want to kill every last one of us, he's not even Jewish. He's not even Jewish. It's all like the victimhood fantasy. And like certain white people are like this, certain black people are like this. Like, it's just a thing. But like this guy, he's allowed another group's identity to be projected onto him so that he can be used as an instrument for their propaganda. And he probably believes 100% of what he's saying. And if there's ever a chance, boy, George, that you see this, I want you to go look at Rafa before and after, and I want you to tell me that, you know, where I say there's genocide, you say it's a war. No, go watch my interviews with Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Aguilar, who talks about a woman dragging a pallet behind her with her children's dead bodies on it to the food, where there's no water to prepare the food she's been given, and if she buries her children, she'll be hit with a missile. She'll be shot. That's your war? You go fight. You go put on a war face. You go deliver the food. What a monster. For real. The track's title is an expression Israelis have repeatedly used to express their hopes for the future, meaning that everyone forgets their war crime following the massacre. I mean, you can't even. All right. Its lyrics include a line saying festival goers were murdered for the crime of dancing. They were murdered by your own government. Like, that's that. You really want a black pill? They were killed in a green flag operation to justify the genocide of the Palestinians, both in the West Bank and in Gaza. That is the reality. The most secure border of any country across the globe, the smallest and the most militarized, the most high tech. And they went over there on paragliders to a festival where everyone was rolling. Like, you want me to believe that when the nearest helicopter base was like, you know, like 10 minutes away, air travel? You want me to believe that when you can look at all the footage, especially on the beach, of very clearly American and Israeli weapons, like only Imperial stormtroopers are this precise? Shout out to episode 4, where you very clearly, the Palestinians couldn't have done those attacks. You have the Hannibal directive where they kill their own people so they're not taken as hostages. This is very real serious stuff that we're talking about here. And people like this, you know, they'll just write a song for the system and they'll just become a part of it. Very, very unfortunate. I want to read something else that's a reality from Politico. And you would say, oh, Rex, I know this. I'm politically aware. I'm politically alert. Let's talk about the Groypers a little bit. GOP staffers say the party has a Groyper problem. How about a Groyper solution? How about that? How about a solution? How about hashtag pack watch for all the establishment neocon unks that lied to us and destroyed our country? And this is the key. As we all get older, as we work harder, as we advance in our various fields and professions, especially people that are involved with politics, like mainstream party politics, I do believe in the alternative beachhead that we demonstrated we could do in 2016 with Donald Trump. I do believe in that. Now, realizing that one man is not the solution, and in fact, you have to have a framework of incredibly talented people that can be put in around like a central figure, whoever's going to be the president, whoever's going to lead, like whatever it's going to be. You have to have a network of incredibly talented people. And we just really didn't have that in 2016, 2024. We had a bunch of boomers, a bunch of like super insane war hawks, a bunch of super insane, they're all Zionists, that goes without saying, right? And that's been their priority. That's been their interest. There's going to come a time when the brain trust and the power of this country is that group of people really under age 45 that have been working for decades to insert themselves in various political systems so they can defend the country, just so that they can be proper Americans. It's weird. People inserting themselves into a system to destroy the system because we don't need the system. We need the power of the people. Like that's really what it's all about. And like, it's like Thanos. It's kind of inevitable. Like, this is what's going to happen on the right. It's already happened. You're like selling, pull Brylan Holly hand up, pull nephew up real quick. Pull him up. We're going to look at this. Brylan Holly. He's the guy they tried to replace Charlie Kirk with. He's famous. I'm not wasting time or blowing smoke. This is a guy that is just, you know, like, hey, buddy, hey, y'all, like, I'm the next thing. I'm the new Republican. That's not cool. It's not cool to do the Ben Shapiro, like, Goyim remix. Like, that doesn't fly anymore. You're going to have people that have a historical significance, have to have a severe tie to modern American politics, and no one's representative of that better than Nick Fuentes. So, like, that's going to be your zeitgeist on the right for at least the next decade. And people can war against him, they can spurg out, they can crash out, they can chimp out, they can do whatever they want to do online. The reality of the situation is that's not changing. You can say, oh, but Tucker, oh, Candace. Candace Owens talks about soap opera, Charlie Kirk assassination. She doesn't really do geopolitics. And I know she talks about geopolitics on her show. I know she covers these things, but it's not really her lane. Like, same with Tucker. Tucker does a lot of interviews. Some would say it's kind of like the porridge was too cold, porridge was too hot. Candace doesn't do enough. Tucker does too much. So Nick Fuentes is kind of that happy medium, I think, for a lot of people, especially that are younger in the country, that are looking for that voice that's more representative of them. And you can agree, disagree with that, whatever. But look, this guy is not the next Charlie Kirk. There is no next Charlie Kirk. They took that guy out for whatever, like, whoever did. I don't believe the official story, right? But he's dead, right? And they thought they could skin suit and replace it with some creation like this. It just doesn't work, because what life experience does this guy have? What has he gone through? What has he lost? What has he paid? Who does he owe? These are not questions that can be answered. So it's just, it's quite ridiculous that they try to astroturf people like this. And to their credit, people like the Misfit Patriot and whatnot, at least they try hard. You know, at least they're not totally inserted. At least you're trying to game the algorithm for yourself. Shout out to you. Right? Somebody like that, that's a complete grown in a vat lab creation. That's why they fear Nick Fuentes, because he's independent. That's the whole reason. And because he has that decade of experience, and you can read that here, the staffers are taking over everywhere. They're taking over the GOP. They're taking over Heritage Foundation. They've inserted themselves everywhere because that's what Nick Fuentes told them to do, like, nearly over, like, half a decade ago plus. Right? And that's the reality of people that say, oh, you, when you do a show, you're just talking. It is what it is. No, we're waking people up. You know, we invented the term waking up. Like, screw woke, right? That was taken over and co-opted, and that's evil. We woke people up in the early 2000s to expect what's happening now. We may have missed certain aspects of it. We've learned certain things. That's part of the growth process between us and then you as the audience, as to where we can all get smarter and more empowered. And I do have to say, one thing is for sure, the old world order is going away. And, you know, you can say it's their new world order, AI, technocracy, hellhole. I say the future is what we make it. I think we still got time to stop a lot of this stuff. And if we can have a genuine anti-war, pro-peace movement on the right, I think we can build that coalition that Trump had in 2016 and 2024 and really change the world, especially if we get young men and women to wake up across the country as to the evil we truly face. And that ain't your neighbor. That ain't even Mom Donnie. It's a country called Israel in the Middle East that controls our foreign policy and takes us to total war. I'll see you guys next segment.
The dirty, dark, dastardly villain is after the methylene blue formula.
Methylene blue. Don't wait. Get yours today while supplies last.
Come on now, Bandit. We gotta get this truck on the road.
We gonna do what they say can't be done.
Let's get a move on.
We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound and what a bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal. Some devil mind it breaks. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana. And we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down.
We're going to do what they say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.